welcome to this episode of the Pretty Girls Club, where today I have an ugly and a pretty as my special guest.
Guess who?
You decide. I think we know, huh? Anyways, so today on this episode with my most toxic friends, we're going to talk about toxic friends. I'm kidding. They're really not. They're literally the opposite. We're going to talk about toxic friendships, friendship breakups, and all that fun stuff.
Ew. It's literally our favorite topic.
Also, in case you don't know who we are, I'm Pretty Please. I'm pretty to some losers. And that's Kai Ying, the woman who's usually behind the podcast. And this is Wee San, the person who was behind a lot in my life before, but no longer behind. Sounds bad.
Sounds
really bad. Okay. No. I love that. So yeah, before we get into it, we're going to talk about what toxic friendships actually mean, like the definition of a toxic friendship in general.
I found that this definition from Google.
Yes.
And it is, Google is not a source that you can cite. But yeah, we are citing this right now on the Pretty Girls Club.
Yes. Okay. So in a toxic friendship, you never feel that support or compassion. You feel minimized when they brush off your problems or ignore outright if they never respond to your messages or requests for help. In short, they aren't there for you when you need a friend most. That's the definition of a toxic friendship.
Wee San doesn't reply message, right?
Yeah, what? Oh my god, you really... Yeah, Wee San sucks at replying people.
That's why you cannot cite Google sources.
So in this episode where we feature our most toxic friend, let's talk about toxic friendships.
Actually, this episode is our intervention. Yeah, we are trying to cut Wee San out.
This is our last chance for him to come back into our lives. If he doesn't budge, then he's out. He's out.
That's it. Anyway. Yeah.
How you feel?
Let's see how... not two mics in my face.
Not the first time. Anyhow. Talk shit. Any case.
Sorry. This is put the two of us together, right? We're not gonna talk about any topic.
Okay, so I guess the first thing we wanted to talk about is, since we already defined what a toxic friend is, and obviously all of us here, we have had toxic friendships in our lives and some level of experience with it, no matter how, even if it was just a little bit toxic or super toxic, we've had toxic relationships for sure, but today we're focusing on friendships. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, should we just talk about our own experiences about toxic friendships that we've had?
Sure.
A friendship that lacked compassion. Who wants to start? Rila, right? It should be me.
Correct,
I knew it was going to be me. Okay, so, I don't know, I feel like in hindsight, when you look back at a lot of the friendships that I've had, there've been some level of toxic. But obviously, when you're in a toxic friendship, similarly to a relationship, you don't realize it until someone from the outside or like a third party kind of like calls you out for it or like objectively tells you like, hey, actually this friendship is very one-sided, or like actually this is not how a friendship should look like or should feel like, and then you start to realize and you start to like look deeper and you're like, hey, actually how come it's not, I'm not like, everything I do is not being reciprocated the same way. So it's like your friend is basically not matching your energy And I think for me, I realized that at a very spirally time of my life. So in 2020, like when my dad passed and a lot of things were going on, that was the same year that I actually had very like difficult conversations with people that I would regard as like my best friends at that point in my life. So a thing that came up was I felt that I couldn't really like express myself without feeling like some level of a burden. Mm-hmm. And then when you feel that way in a friendship, it's obviously very shitty because
the worst times in your life are when you realize who are your actual friends.
Yeah.
Because then it shows very clearly, because at that time you need to lean on them. Because most of the time, like your personality, as is like the reason why three of us are close, like we are the kind of people that we are more of the kind that give. Like we'll be like, okay, you need help for this, I'll help you. Yeah. Like no questions asked, like we will help each other in a heartbeat. But when it comes to ourselves, it's very difficult for us to ask for help. Like we are the kind of people that want to do everything on our own, or like we don't want to feel like a burden.
Yeah.
Then the moment that like, obviously 2020 was a very difficult time for Pretty, it's like really at the moment that you're like, okay, I really cannot already. I need my friends. And then they don't show up. Then obviously it's a shock. Because you'll be like, oh, all along I've been giving, let's say 7 years of friendship, 6 years I've been giving. I asked for you for help for 1 year, you cannot even give me that.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's why like it really shone a light. Does that make sense? Yeah. On like the toxicity of those friends.
Yeah. Because
you don't really see in a day to day.
Exactly.
Context.
And you don't keep tabs of like, oh, how many things did I do for friendship? Not calculative. You don't do that in friendships in general, yeah. Unless you're calculative like that, lah.
So clearly, wow. If I count yours, it's like zero,
Oh.
No, I count for other people. People cannot count for me.
Like that, Toxic.
But I think for me, it was, like, it wasn't a case of, like, friends not showing up for me, but it was a case of, like, one of my best friends at that point explicitly said, sometimes it feels like your problems are too big. And when that happened, it felt like, wow, that was a very, like, insane feeling to experience, because as somebody who was living through those big problems, it's like, these are things that I never chose to experience in my life. These are things that happened very unpredictably in my life. And then for someone to basically tell me that, oh, it feels like your problems are just too big. It just felt like, but all I needed was for someone to show up and just be there and listen. And it wasn't like I never sought out a friend to solve any problem that I experienced. And you don't look to your friends to solve your problems, right? You look to your friends to basically be there and support you throughout everything that you need to deal with. And of course, advice here and there, but that's ultimately it. None of your friends will come in and be like, okay, this one I fixed. You know, that's not how a friendship works.
Can't be fixed.
Yeah, and some problems really can't be fixed. Some problems are not your doing, and it's just life and circumstance. And a lot of, like, my life has been like that, like family and just very weird circumstances that I shouldn't, no one should be in, you know, that I've had to experience. So when that exact words were said to me, I think for me, that's when I took a very, like, long and hard look at, like, the friendships, and I was like, wow, to be made to feel like I was some level of a burden, or my problems were burdening someone else, was a very shitty feeling. And then that's when I started to get a bit closed off, like, and I was like, okay, well, my problems are too big, and then let me just not share them then, since they are difficult for you to hear. And then that's when, like, my dad passed away, like, a month after this conversation, and I remember feeling like my life was such a joke. And I was like, correct lor, not wrong lah, my problems are sometimes a bit too big in the grand scheme of things. So I was just like, she wasn't wrong when she said that, but it was very shitty to hear. And I lost a very, like, a very long friendship that I had lah at that point in 2020, and I'm no longer, like, I am friends with this person now, but it's a very civil friendship. It's nowhere close to, like, the friendship we used to have. But it's also, like, enough time has passed that I think there's been a healthy distance that, like, now I feel very comfortable to, if I want to meet this friend, I'll reach out, lah. But I will not, I don't plan to have that kind of a relationship with them anymore.
But hearing what you've said, right, I think on the other end of the spectrum, there's, okay, this didn't happen to me. Yeah, this didn't happen to me, but it's what I observed in poly, like, in my earlier years. Mm. So, like, there were these, like, three friends who were, like, really, really close. But two of them realized that this one girl, her life was too perfect for them to, like, deal with. So what, because, like, she was getting good grades, but they weren't getting good grades. Then she had, like, everything in order in her life and all that, lah. So then they actually asked me, like, oh, why are you friends with her? And I said, because I'm okay with her, lah. Like, I don't see anything wrong with being friends with her. Because she's a junior of mine. Then they were like, oh, so we kind of distanced ourselves from her because her life was, like, just too perfect, and, like, we just cannot relate.
That's a big L, for those other two people. The, like, opposite, big L.
Of what happened. Yeah, so it's, like, the opposite of what?
Yeah.
So then I was like, doesn't really make sense, but y'all do y'all.
I guess ultimately that one is obviously jealousy, lah. Like, I'd rather that they distance themselves from her than be in her life and, like, make her feel bad for having certain privileges that the average person her age and her, like, her cohort, her friends around her,
or,
might,
like,
not have, like,
pretend,
you know,
to care.
Yeah, it would have been, that would be really toxic, like. So it's, I'm glad they distance themselves, but that's, like, it's very shitty, like, to have friends that are jealous of you. So then you don't know if they will ever genuinely support you or be happy for you. Then it's such a uncomfortable friendship, because you cannot just be completely yourself and express yourself. Yeah, so what other toxic friendships have you experienced?
I think y'all know some of them, but
the one I never drink with the same straw.
Yeah, so in poly year one, we were all just like, I was doing mass comm in Nian poly, and we were just like, this group of us, we're just having, you all both were from mass comm also, like, you're also actresses. Yeah, so in poly, in year one, like, we had, like, this group of, like, I mean, you can call it a clique. Yeah, but it was kind of toxic, because we are no longer friends now. Like, I'm just friends with, like, one of them, who's, like, one of my best friends now. So in Makan Place, if y'all know where that is in Nian, we're just having lunch, like a typical, like, normal day after classes, having lunch. And then this girl, she basically said to me that, she asked me, I see all the guys in Makan Place, right? They all have a jawline. Why you don't have,
Bitch.
Yeah, and then she...
Wow, I can't break her jaw on the spot.
she still went on, and then, like...
She'll break her jaw.
Yeah, then one of my friends actually defended me. Like, she was like, what the fuck? What do you mean?
Why you make your friends all like that?
Because she has a very deeper voice than the rest of them. Yeah, but that same friend who said that also told me on a separate occasion. She basically asked me lah, like, cause I did tell her that I'm gay, and then she, y'all didn't know.
Oh my god, is this your coming out episode?
Yeah. Ally. Yeah, so she told me like, oh, I told my mom you're gay, and then she told me like not to drink out of your like water bottle in case like you have AIDS. And then like I was flabbergasted. I would just be in your mouth lah, might as well. Yeah, I was just flabbergasted because like,
so was her mom.
So was my water bottle. Like, why? You can't say things like that to people. Yeah, yeah. Like, even though it's your mom who said it, like, you telling me that, do you not...
critical thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that qualifies as, like, a toxic friend. Because, like, you wouldn't say that to, like, another person and expect them to be okay. Unless you have something wrong with your head, lah. Yeah, so I'm glad we're no longer friends, but...
Yeah, and every single time we say says her name, or like, he has another friend with a very similar name. So every time he says the friend with a similar name who didn't do anything problematic, every single time he says her name, I'll be like, I'll yell out this problematic girl's name. I'll be like, her? Are you sure you're hanging out with her, we said? And even though they don't hang out.
Sometimes it catches me off guard.
Yeah, I think it's funny though. But yeah, I think it's very problematic. That one is not even toxic anymore. That one is homophobic. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, like, and honestly, that one is so rude. Like, yeah. You think that you're, like, even if you're close to someone, you have to use your brain right before you talk. This girl clearly doesn't, and it's just like, you just think that, oh, Wisan will accept whatever bullshit comes out of my mouth, even if it's rude to him, because he's my friend.
Yeah, and also that, like,
it's just no respect for him lah.
And I feel like you were talking about like being in poly, right? So she wasn't that young. She wasn't so young to the point where she would just blindly like repeat everything her mom was telling her and just echo every sentiment her mom had. Exactly. She was old enough to be discerning enough lah, to be like, oh, my mom's saying this, and it might have been like, it obviously is rude. And whether or not she agrees with it, it shouldn't have been something she even repeated in front of Wisan, exactly. Or even repeated to anyone.
Anybody,
else.
Yeah.
Just like let that very problematic thought process die with that generation and not perpetuate it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
ridiculous.
Very
just,
problematic.
Just so y'all know, AIDS and HIV cannot pass through saliva.
In case y'all don't know. Yeah.
Well, someone needs to tell that to her mom, okay? So nobody knows, apparently.
Apparently so. Yeah.
So okay. How about you, Kaying?
I was in the previous podcast episode about cheaters, so that's toxic relationships. So yeah. Toxic and then now we're gonna talk about toxic friendships. I feel like I've had my fair share of toxic friendships, but I think it really takes a lot for me to be able to cut somebody out fully. I think I give people a lot of discounts, excuses, or defend them a lot if I feel that they are a good friend to me, and then I don't really notice it when they don't reciprocate. So until like somebody, like what Pretty was saying, like somebody tells you, or like you see it very blatantly when some shit happens, if that makes sense. So I've had a couple of friends that are like that. Obviously it won't name names, but there are a lot of friends who come to me for advice. I don't know why people come to me for relationship advice when I'm fucking single for so long. And people come to me for like life advice or whatever. I think they just know that I probably might be the one to tell them what they want to hear.
But realistically, the single friends always have the best advice,
I guess.
Yeah. I've given the best advice my whole life. And I only got in a relationship 3 years ago.
Yeah, so I'm often the person that my friends go to for advice. I just somebody to talk to, because like free therapy is me. And then I'll spend hours and hours talking to them about their relationship, whether they should stay with this person, break up with this person, or like whether they want to talk about their job, they want to talk about their life, talk about themselves the whole evening, I will listen. I'll sit there and be like, I'll listen. I won't be a bitch and be like, why you never ask about me? I'll just go home and cry about that. But anyway, then after that, more often than not, when I actually need these friends to support me, in a sense, that's when I notice that they're gone. Like, so I always give discounts, and then other people will tell me like, oh, I don't like this person because like, it's very clear that they don't reciprocate how they feel to you. They treat other people like shit. Why you don't notice it, blah, 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 blah. And then often like I spend hours giving them therapy, like talking to them, and then they'll get back together with their girlfriend or boyfriend and not tell me. So when things are shit, they come to me. When things are good, they don't talk to me at all. So then it becomes a situation where I'm just like, what am I, chopped liver? Like,
fair weathered friendship.
Yeah. So then I realized, I was like, what's the fucking point? Like, you don't even know what's going on in my life. You don't ask me how I am. Just because we don't post like IG stories of like black screen with small tiny words being emo anymore, doesn't mean that you don't check up on your friends. You get what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I feel that like with the three of us, like we might not talk all the time. I think me and Pretty talk most often because we work together on this podcast and everything, and Wisan's very busy with school. But it's like never that Wisan is not aware of our lives. You get what I mean? Like, you still will care, or like care enough to listen, or like we will care enough to ask you how's school, how's your family, etc., etc. And that is just very basic friendship. But that's when I realized, like, those toxic friends that I had that I finally cut out. It's like when you cut them off, it feels like you lost a limb, and then after that, you feel like
suddenly the limb grow back.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it literally is like, oh shit, my life is so much better without them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't stress about what I'm trying to gonna say to you, or why, if somebody comes to me and be like, oh, I don't like this person, then I will have to be like, find 10 million reasons to defend this one individual when actually, in actual fact, which I found out obviously before, when other people talk shit about me in front of them, they'll just listen and they don't defend me.
That's
so
also like,
yeah,
like one of those, like, I guess that feeling that you experienced or feeling like a weight is lifted off your shoulders like suddenly. I also think it's like what people call it, like energy vampires, right? Like people
that just suck the life out of you.
Yeah, and they just take whatever they can from you and this friendship and all the value you bring to this friendship, and they don't give lah. And then you just leave like every time you meet them, you just leave very drained, very exhausted, and you're like, actually I didn't do much, I just went out for dinner, but why am I so emotionally spent
and
I'm like
done
for the
week. These people are so self-absorbed. It's crazy. It's like, I mean, to me, maybe as my kind of person, as like who I am as a friend, you can notice when someone like clearly doesn't want to listen to what you have to say. Or like if they're clearly having a bad day, you don't need to dump out your whole fucking life, job, career on them and talk to them about your job for hours and hours and hours. Talk about money, talk about your job. I'm like, it's personal. But like, you get me? Like, read the room. Yeah. And then like, most times like, your good friends won't an ass and be like, never mind, you can just talk about it lah, just go ahead. But like, read the damn room. I think that's why there are so many people who are in this kind of friendships that like drain their energy but they don't realize it.
Yeah.
It's honestly better to just cut them off. And not saying that these people who are like that are horrible people, they're not. It's just that these friendships are wasting your energy. Like, maybe you're just not the right fit to be their friend. You get what I mean? Yeah.
And I guess we've spoken a bit about like cutting toxic friends out of our lives.
Or,
like,
talk about that.
Yeah, and taking a break from it. But do you have another?
Oh no, I just want to say, like, it's not easy to cut off a toxic friend.
It's not.
It's really not easy. And if you're in like close proximity with these people, right? Like, let's say school, or like you have like, it's you're all bound by a certain
like
similarity.
Yeah.
It's not easy it's not easy to cut them off. Like, you see them every day. You have to deal with that like emotional, like, not, I wouldn't say damage, but emotional stress of seeing them every day and trying your best to not acknowledge their presence or to not acknowledge their like snide remarks and stuff like that. It's really not easy. And a lot in school, it's also like that lah. Like, cause if you're in a clique, like for example the cult that I was in, it's very hard to, like, cause if you go to lectures, we all sit together in one row.
Yeah.
And like, if one day suddenly you decide to like sit behind or sit in front and not be with your like your clique, it's everyone will question, like, not just your own friends, like not just people within that clique, people around you in your lecture will also be like, oh, why is Wisan not sitting with them today? Oh my god.
Gossip basically.
Yeah, it gets bad.
And also one thing that I wanted to say is like what Wisan was saying, it makes you, the person who's cutting this toxic person out, look like the fucking bitch.
That was me. That has been me for
and
the last how many years.
It's a stupid thing because then people will just say like, the toxic friend will be like, I don't know why she cut me out. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. I'm like, bitch, obviously you fucking understand. It's just that you, okay, maybe you don't, because maybe you're not self-aware.
Yeah.
But like, there is a reason. And like, I feel that friends who cut off other toxic friendships, don't wait till like one time you cross me, I cut you. No, it's like months and months and months of like shit that you throw in my face. Then I bury it already. Then I'm like, okay, I give up.
Yeah.
And then like, when you are gone, then suddenly they're like, oh my god, why didn't they talk to me anymore?
Like, don't be shocked.
But actually, like, all along they never talk to you leh. But then the moment it's clear that you don't reach out anymore because they never reach out to you first, they'll be like, oh my god, like, why should I ignore me?
Yeah,
like why should I act like a bitch? Yeah, exactly that. Like what Wisan was saying, like, if he sits on another row in lecture, then they're going to be like, they fight ah? Why? What did Wisan do? You know what I mean? Because Wisan is the one who's taking the effort to step out of the toxic friendship. It's always the person who's like, cuts the other person off first will seem like the bitch.
Yeah,
and, which is not fair.
And I explicitly had like, so in poly, I was a part of a very, very big clique of friends lah. And obviously when
it's
you're
a
in a
something
and yeah, and when you're in a very big group of friends, like we're talking more than 10 people. It's a lot. It's a lot of personalities, a lot of people to manage, a lot of relationships within the friend group. So a lot of things like that. That's like a lot of factors, and it's not just simply, oh, this is a friendship. You know, it's not. It's just yeah, it's not as easy as that. But I think for me, like, eventually, a couple of years ago when I started to realize that, I guess the friend group in general didn't bring me a lot of joy and started to get very toxic in a sense where a lot of very toxic behaviors were getting perpetuated within the group, were getting enabled, like, people were not being self-aware enough. And I always thought that this, my group of friends were very self-aware. I always thought to some extent they got it, they understood.
They portrayed themselves
like, yeah, they clearly could tell right from wrong. They clearly could tell what's not okay. I would like to think that they were not problematic, misogynistic, you know, all these things. But then eventually as we got older, I started to see a lot of these traits, and like we're full-on adults at this point. We're not kids in school anymore. And to see that these are traits that I don't want to be around, these are traits that I actively avoid, and I, if anything, I call out, you know? So it was very funny to see that actually the people that were like my ride or dies and like my closest friends started to display a lot of these problematic behaviors that I really don't want to be any part of. And I really started to be very critical about at that point in my life as well, because I was growing up as well. So I started to be very uncomfortable around them, and I started to notice things like pay more attention to the conversations that were happening around me. And I was like, I actually don't know, other than talking about other people or saying very questionable, problematic things, what else were we talking about? And then I started to be very critical, and then a lot of things were happening in my life, right? So 2020 was a year that was a rollercoaster of emotions, honestly. And 2019, of course, that was also, 2019, 2020, I've had back-to-back, like, very,
crazy
very
years, la.
Shitty years, la, to be frank. And dealing with that was enough for me to, like, you know what, whatever time I had, I really just wanted to spend taking care of, like, the closest to me, and I didn't waste my time doing other things, lah. So when I started to realize that actually a lot of these conversations, relationships, like time we were spending, just honestly felt like a waste of my time. And when a lot of problematic things started happening within the friend group, and I'm talking about things like sexual harassment, like I'm talking about predator shit, you know, like very problematic things, illegal shit, lah, basically. And I was like, why are we not calling this behavior out? Why are we not saying anything? Maybe we didn't when we were back in school because we didn't know better. Like, sure, you want to pull that we were too young, we didn't know how to react, we didn't know what to do card. That's still all very valid because we were young teenagers. But eventually now as grown adults, to not do better with the information that we have and just life experiences and everything that we know now as adults, just felt very convenient, like, that you just keep like, for the sake of the friendship, you forgive very problematic behaviors. Then to me, that's a toxic friendship. What? Okay. You allow your friend to just fully do whatever they want, get away with it, know that there will be no consequences to whatever actions they do, and know that they will forever have the backing of a very solid group of friends that will keep enabling them to do.
And the crazy, yeah, the crazy thing is that, like, obviously these people that Priti are talking about, like, we also know, because I mean we're all from the same school. You get what I mean? It's not like some brand new information, we don't know these people, but it's more of like, it's like, you also, in a sense, like, make yourself feel very two-faced, in a sense that if, let's say, this person, let's name this person James, okay? I don't know James. It's like James Sharp. Okay, let's name this. Yeah, he's our lecturer, sorry. Okay, James says some misogynistic shit, and then I scold him and be like, hey, fuck you, don't say this kind of shit. Okay? And, but if Wee-san says it, I'll be like, ha, ha, ha.
It's
then
okay, like, my good, you know, friend. Yeah. Yeah, which doesn't really make sense, lah.
Exactly.
And I think you need to acknowledge, like, some friendships can be situational. Like, situational as in, like, a situation is like a school. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can, correct, you can be friends in school. You can, like, you know, pick each other for group projects and work together and stuff and have that, like, cordial relationship. But beyond school, if you feel like you don't need them in your life anymore, just, you can cut them off. You can. And then, like we said, it's hard. But it's easier if it's already beyond school and like interactions are limited, and it's really up to you to you know, make that choice of whether you want to meet the person or not. Which,
why none of us interacted in school and we're all from the same school?
I feel like, yeah, me and Kaying have got like acknowledged each other at least.
You were her SL, right?
GL.
You
don't say this kind of word.
Group leader.
I hated camp so much, but that was the only fun camp in my life. Yeah,
freshman bonding camp.
I think, like, another thing adding on to what Wee-san said, like, situational friendships, I also think a very convenient excuse that that has happened since like graduating from school and everything has been distance, like distance being the main reason, or like drifting apart, or like life getting in the way. We're all working different jobs now. Like we can't spend. Or just I just farted. Wait, second time we did this on a podcast episode.
I can't and, that time.
Ah man, this one can keep. No, anyways, so I think it's very like people conveniently use the excuse of distance and growing apart and aging as like a reason why we drift apart. But I think honestly, if the friendship is valuable enough, that usually doesn't happen. Mm. And I think it's like it's similar to what Wisan said, lah. Like you no longer see the value in this friendship, or like actually this friendship only made sense when we were in school, when we had that proximity. But now it doesn't. And it's too much effort to maintain this friendship that I don't mind losing it. Like I think it's very evident in the way people react, lah, and how they choose to maintain a friendship or not.
Yeah.
But for me, like when I did cut off like the friends that I did mention, or when I started to realize that this is just not healthy for anyone, lah. And if I'm gonna be around people that perpetuate a lot of problematic things, that's not good for my mental health, and that's not right. That doesn't sit right with me. When I chose to do that, I had a friend that explicitly asked me, a friend within the same group who was pretty neutral, who explicitly asked me, who said to me, like, I don't understand how it's so easy for you to cut people off. And like Wisan also mentioned this just now, like
massive eye roll.
It's never easy. It's very difficult.
And it's worse than a relationship breakup when you are cut your friends.
That suddenly you're the one that's isolated. Like you're the one that's away from, and when it's a big group of friends like what I was in, like a 10
feels horrible
thing, you watch these people spend time with each other every other day like nothing happened, like the loss, they didn't even take time to grieve the loss of you, you know, and the friendship, and it just feels a bit like
they just move forward with life, or maybe me being in it or not didn't make a fucking difference to them at all.
And I
would
it
like feels
to think
like
that
way.
Me being in it didn't make a difference. Like I know
of course
I would like to think that I had an impact on the friendships and the relationships I had at that point, but like like it didn't feel that way, lah. You know, once I cut off this,
the way they act was so long.
But another thing to note is that I think the distance really did help, lah. Because now that it's been a couple of years since I've no longer been a part of this friend group, I also see the people who bothered to reach out, and I also see the friends that I used to be really close to that actually had enough time to think about this, enough time to like spend on their own, and then reach out to me at a later point to be like, actually, do you want to catch up one day? Yeah, so I really enjoy having that one-on-one friendship with these friends that have bothered to reach out. And I think that distance really was really helpful to salvaging this friendship. To
what was left of the friendship. Like,
yeah, so. And now it's come to a point where it's healthy. You know, we meet each other whenever we want. Whenever we think about each other, we can text each other. We have the space to do that. And it's not like, oh, this is someone I cut off before. There's all this like weird ego and tension and pressure to like, how should I act around them? You know, I feel very like comfortable around them and free, like,
yeah,
the pressure, the shackles of a friend group shackles. And a clique.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But I think like the clique thing that y'all both were saying also, like, I mean, we also know the clique thing is a very school kind of situation that, I mean, you gravitate towards people that you relate to in school, and then you'll form a clique. Like in secondary school also, I had a huge clique of 14 people. That's half the fucking class, okay, mind you. And like, it was just, it was horrible, like, because, I mean, even with 14 people, as big as your friend group is, right, left out. The one person always left out is me. And then I will be like, I don't understand why, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, but then I realized after I left school, these 14 people, only like 4 of us are close. And mind you, one lives in London, okay? And then the other girl is like same, like poly as me. So it became like a, of course we're going to stay close. Proximity thing. I love her lah, but that's besides the point. It's like in secondary school, it's like you think these people are gonna be your ride or dies for life. Eh? It's really not. Like people who are your ride or dies for life are people who bother to keep in touch. Like what Pretty was saying, like one of my best friends lives in London. Call her every 3 months to update about what has happened in the past 3 months. But like when she comes back, nothing has changed. Those are actually called actual friendships that people give when people give a shit about you lah. And it goes both ways, you know what I mean? It's never a one sided thing. So like that's why like it's damn cliche, but people always say like you really don't need a big group of friends, you just need a few people you're close to. And it's very true.
It's quality, not quantity.
Yeah. And it correct. Really is, because you might sometimes feel that like, wow, I'm like, I often feel this way, and I feel lonely. I'm not alone, but I feel lonely very easily. Where like a weekend, for example, like last weekend, I wanted to go out and nobody was free. And then like, Pretty was overseas, and then Wisan is not free. Then I'll just be like, oh, I got no friends. But then when you actually sit and use your brain,
yes, I feel that right? way all the time. But
when we use your brain, we literally hang out all the time. And like it's just this one weekend out of every weekend that we hang out together that she's overseas and I'm at home sitting at home being like, I got no friends. Like, yeah, it really is, like, just a few friends is really enough, because when you spend time together doing absolutely nothing and you still can have a proper conversation or feel comfortable with them, that's really so much more worth than being in a big group and going, like, you know, like, going to, like, big group gatherings all the time. It's also very exhausting, eh? And, like, how often can you say, like, okay, let's say your clique is, like, 10 people big, 40 people big. You're close to everybody, man. It doesn't work that way. You always have one or two people that you gravitate towards. So then, is it really worth being in this big group of people who, it's really like, don't care about you?
Some cliques within the clique. And then there also is some source of drama.
Drama.
Oh, messy, very messy.
Then so awkward. It's just so tiring.
We apologize for interrupting your listening and viewing experience of the Pretty Girls Club. But this episode has come to an abrupt end. We are going to be continuing the Toxic Friendships episode in part 2 next week. Stay tuned. Goodbye.